You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It is Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network who joins us each and every Saturday at this time. And we are so grateful each and every Saturday that we are graced with your presence, my friend. Welcome in.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. I had Mama Mimi on not too long ago, you know, and it's unfortunate. I miss my family, and I think like a lot of us do. But, you know, my theme this show is, you know, and what I've done the last probably 48 hours is, you know, trying to reflect on the last 6 to 8 months and what am I most grateful for. And, you know, the friends and the relationships and all that that not only has been created, but has been built stronger because a lot of us can't be around our family because we're worried about, you know, our elderly parents ill. And you know, at the end of the day, it's been a rough road, but I think, you know, we can all find kind of the light at the end of the tunnel and the silver lining and find ways that we are grateful and we are blessed.
Definitely. I'm super grateful for the awareness of how special my friends and family, their health happens to be, not just through COVID times, but just in general, like how precious that is and how much we have so much to be grateful for with all of that. Like the awareness is so strong now, even stronger than before for me.
God bless. God bless. So let's, you know, before we start talking like, you know, bigger picture NFL, because we are on here in New York, I'm really curious. I just had a caller, Richard, who called in and asked me, Anita, if this what team to you out of all the teams that are playing on Sunday, if this team loses, what team, if they lose, is going to have more hell to pay? In essence, that's I just used my own wording, but the most criticized, like sports talk radio is going to go off the chain if this team loses. My response is Tom Brady and the Bucks. I think more pressure is on Tom Brady, especially the reports, Dan Graziano on Get Up this week saying that there's some dissension between Tom and Bruce Arians, yada, yada, yada. To me, I think probably the most pressured individual heading into week 12 is Tom Brady. I'm curious, do you agree, disagree? If you disagree, where do you think the pressure is? What's the most pressured team to win tomorrow?
Yeah, I definitely think that if the Tom Brady Bucks, I mean, I say it very specifically like that, if they don't pull off the win, I think it's going to be one of those things where sports radio is going to go berserk. However, there are some other teams that are bigger favorites that if they lose, it's just going to be ridiculous. Like, for example, I think, you know, if we cared more about the future of the Browns, that's going to be problematic for them. And let's say the Steelers and the Ravens had been fully healthy, then I think that game, the outcome, would have been a big Lamar Jackson situation had they not win. So, you know, it's kind of circumstantial that it's the Bucks for me a little bit, but that's partly because we care so much about, you know, will the Super Bowl be in Tampa with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, you know, those kind of things. It's just bigger name, bigger storyline. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Well, how much pressure do you think that it's going to be if the Giants lose to the Bengals? Because Richard feels that it's the Giants and Joe Judge that are feeling the most pressure heading into this week.
Yeah, well, look, the thing is whenever you lose your starting quarterback and that quarterback was a first-round draft pick, everyone's going to be, you know, thinking it's going to be just in the bag to win that game. The Giants have had their struggles this season, and yes, the division is still well within reach, but let's be honest, this is a division where all four of the teams could either win or end up with a top five draft pick. So it's not like the expectations are super high such that if you lose one to the Bengals, then, you know, it's going to be so incredibly shocking. You know, I think we'd all be more shocked if Tom Brady lost to the Bengals, right? Just in general. So I don't know. I think all it is upside. I do think this is an opportunity for Daniel Jones to really step up and look awesome. But I mean, you're missing Saquon Barkley. You're missing a lot of situations and pieces that you thought you had at the beginning of the season. So I don't know. And while I don't think the Giants will lose tomorrow, in fact, I feel very strongly that they won't, I think it is, if they did happen to lose, I don't think it's that earth shattering because really the expectations aren't as high as they might typically be in a normal season for the Giants.
So let me ask you, because out of curiosity, you know, do you know much about Brandon Allen, the practice squad quarterback You know, the most I know, sixth round draft pick from Arkansas, 6'2", played three games last year, 515 passing yards, three touchdowns, two interception, and a 40.1 QB rating. That's pretty much what I know. Are we underestimating the move to Allen?
I don't know if we're underestimating it, because the thing that made Joe Burrow so special was his ability to navigate pressure so well at such a young and inexperienced age. So I personally think that Brandon Allen might be – I've watched a bunch of film, and it's hard to really translate his Arkansas performance to the NFL. It's just very difficult. It just is. It always is for every position and for everyone, but it's even more so when you only have backup snaps sort of taken. But that O-line is still really hard to navigate. And they do have inconsistent receivers. And as much as I like a bunch of their receivers and think they're interesting, like, they're inconsistent. So he doesn't have the best supporting cast to help him out, which would make a much bigger difference, especially that O-line, an O-line that really did not help Joe Burrow out very much, and Joe Burrow was able to be special despite the O-line.
So with that being said, the Giants are favored by 5.5. Do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I think Giants' defense has played really well lately. So I think that being said, I think they win by at least a touchdown. So I'm happy to, you know, 5.5 is not a touchdown. So I think that's a good difference in that one for me. And I think the Giants' defense is really the difference maker in this one.
All right, let's turn our attention to what's going on with the Jets and the Dolphins. The Jets are going back to Sam Darnold. Is that a surprise there with that announcement, Cynthia?
No, absolutely not. The Jets are out of it, mathematically, statistically eliminated, so they need to figure out exactly what they're going to do for next season. That kind of comes a freedom with knowing that the playoffs are totally gone. Not that we thought at 0-8 that they were really realistic, but now that it's completely sort of, all right, let's move on, turn the page, let's figure it out. We need to figure out, is Sam Darnold, the most important position in any sport, is the quarterback in football? So you need to figure out, is this our franchise quarterback? Is this the guy we're going to give a longer leash to, or are we going to take a different strategy? Because it's very likely that the Jets will have the first pick in the draft.
So on the opposite side, you've got the Miami Dolphins and Tua. Last week, reports foot issue. This week, we're hearing thumb issue. Last week, bench.
Just
because
downgraded to doubtful. Just downgraded to doubtful, like, moments ago.
Whoa. Okay. All right. So with that being said, with Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in, you know, what are your expectations? A lot of people, like, and again, this game is 6.5. And there are a number of people that believe that the Jets are going to be competitive here. Going back to Sam Darnold, I think, you know, like you mentioned with the Giants, I think a lot of this has to do with the Miami Dolphins defense, which I don't know where the hell they were last week against Denver, but regardless, what's your play here? Do you have one in this game?
You know, the interesting part is it's not just the last game that the Dolphins defense didn't show up as much as, and I understand that, you know, when Tua starts, it looks great, but they've kind of been allowing more and more yards per game since Tua took over as a starter, and they've increased their points per game by 3.5 since when Tua started to take over and the last game. So it's their defense is allowing more points. Yes, they played stiffer competition, but kind of, right? Like it's got to, you have to factor in a number of things. I do think that the Jets keep this one more competitive with Sam Darnold, in part because you saw last week two things happened. One, Frank Gore got in the end zone. Okay, first time this season. And with P. Ryan being injured, it's likely that Gore will be, you know, take the bulk of the carries in that situation. And then second, you also saw Chris Herndon. He got in the end zone his first time this season too. I think the addition of the tight end to their offense with increased health at the wide receiver position just from top to bottom, that's going to really help out. So for me in this game, I think the Jets do keep it competitive. Remember, it is very hard to go 0-16. I know that sounds crazy, but it is very difficult task. I'm from Michigan. I have lived it, but it is ultimately, it is not an easy task. And these are the types of situations where you have a number of injuries at key positions, kind of things, obviously being quarterback being the most key. That could be, I know Ryan Fitzmagic is completely, you know, an awesome starter caliber quarterback, but when you have differences in scheme and strategy and all of those things coming together, and you have a fact that, you know, the Jets are not a bad football team. They don't have a good record. They have not played good football, but they have been incredibly injured. they do have more than we've seen. So I think because of freedom that they have with not having to make the playoffs or not having to really do much here, I think that freedom will allow them to really, you know, keep it closer. I don't think they win, but I think it's about a field goal difference.
Okay, so your play with that 6.5 point spread, your play is take the Jets with the points heading into that one, right?
I do. Yep. I think so.
In regard to the landscape of the NFL, probably one of my favorite plays, and I am going to toot my own horn here because I told everybody, watch out for Taysom Hill. Love that guy. Did you see me on Daily Wager? I've got my Swiss Army Knife T-shirt.
I haven't seen it yet. I won't get to watch that till Saturday nights usually, but I will. I'm excited because I always need to know what's going on with the puppies. So, always.
Yeah. Well, Frankie was right last week. His dog pick of the week was the
right.
was the Rams on the money line plus 190. Frankie's eating well, boy. I'll tell you that. But yeah. So we were on Tuesday, and I ordered my Taysom Hill Swiss Army knife shirt, and it arrived. So I had it for the show on Tuesday. But regardless, I like the Saints here -5.5 going up against Denver. You know, what I find really interesting in that Saints game, do you know there was only 2 designated running plays for Taysom Hill? The rest of the rushing yards that he put up was him just like scrambling, trying to get away from defensive pressure. Sean Payton only called 2 specific designated rushing plays for Taysom Hill. So what that tells me is pick your poison, right? Like Taysom Hill could come in and could kind of kill you in a quote unquote Tim Tebow style of offense. Or he could come in and perform like we saw him perform last week against Atlanta. So I like the Saints here and let the odds maker continue, you know, let them to continue to doubt. I think what, you know, a lot of people are underestimating from Taysom Hill and this Saints defense. I'm kind of surprised that this line is at 5.5. What are you playing this game? And if so, how?
That's the key to me, too, is the defense. You brought that up. We all kind of know Taysom Hill is an ultimate wild card. So, like, I'm not saying that we know what to expect from him, but I'm saying that we know to expect the unexpected from him. And the defense, though, is where the real advantage for the Saints lies, in my opinion. Because first you saw there's a report that just came out that Jerry Jeudy is going to have to test his ankle before deciding if he even goes this week. So just if you're playing him in fantasy, just be mindful of that because – I don't know if that means – it probably means he's not 100% even if he does go, so you might want to pivot off of him in fantasy if that's what you're thinking. But ultimately, the Saints' defense and their ability to really get very important pressure and also back that up in coverage, that's been a huge key, and that's kind of been the difference in the past few games, even with Drew Brees, that I see, right? Like that Tampa Bay game, it wasn't Drew Brees and the offense that won that game. It was the Saints' defense that won that game. So I think the Saints' defense alone is worth a touchdown.
All right. As always, Cynthia, we like to end our segment with you talking fantasy football and you giving up some of the guys that are kind of maybe flying low on the radar. And as always, you kick it off with the quarterbacks. Who you like this week?
Okay, so we brought it up. I'm going hometown. And I wrote about this on NFL.com, so I'm not just being a homer here. But I do think that if you are looking for a nice fantasy play in daily, Daniel Jones is your guy. He's really a great price, great situation, lots of upside. He knows how to use his legs. He could score a rushing touchdown very easily. The Bengals D gives up rushing yards to running backs and also to mobile quarterbacks. So I think Daniel Jones is a great play, lots of upside in this one this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, dude was clocked at 22 miles an hour.
Just that many, you know.
tripped over his own 2 feet, but damn, 22 miles an hour.
I were running that fast, I would trip over my 2 feet too.
What about running backs? Who do you like?
You know, running back's always a tricky one. And I think Frank Gore is in a great position. I'm going hometown here. Frank Gore, because most people drop him in regular fantasy. And then now in daily, he's underpriced. So you really, that one's under strong consideration for me. I think that, you know, look, we're going to go back to Salvon Ahmed again. And for the Dolphins, especially, you know, if Tua is not playing that, who knows? That run game is a good one to target against a game where, if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick and you need some run with some rush yards because we've seen the Jets defense bring some pressure. So I think Salvon Ahmed could, again, be a good choice.
All right, I'm going hometown here. What about Wayne Gallman against Cincinnati?
I like him
this week.
You know what? I was all over Wayne Gallman earlier this week, and then people kept telling me that he's not available in any of their fantasy leagues, so I had to go deeper. So I had to take a deeper pull. But I love Wayne Gallman. I wrote about him this week too. So I for sure like Wayne Gallman. I assumed he wasn't available in anyone's leagues anymore. Little vultures, they all get all the good ones.
Yeah, they do. What about Bellage? What are you hearing about Eckler? Is Eckler going to play this week? I think a lot of people are, especially in DFS, they're veering away from using him because they think that Eckler is going to get some time this week. What are you hearing out there in LA?
You know, the weird part is that the odds makers have made that game closer, which makes me believe that the powers that be in the desert, they know something I don't know. Because I think that the Bills, you know, like, look, if it's Eckler, he's a great play against the Bills defense that has been suspect at times. So for me, I would argue, I think that's probably the reason that the people in the desert have been doing that. But I, you know, I've only heard kind of the same thing you have, which is expected to, probable, like, you know, these, but nothing concrete yet. So that's why the Bellage pick is dicey for me.
All right, wide receivers.
Okay, so I think that my favorite wide receiver play this week, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think there's a number of plays you could take in Vegas that would be a good pick. So, I mean, Nelson Aguilar, is he available? I don't know. People have been vulturing him up, too. You could even go with the Hunter Renfrows. Like, I think anyone in that game that's between Atlanta and Las Vegas, you could look at Russell Gage, both sides. Right, like I'm actually thinking maybe I fade Julio Jones and really load up on Calvin Ridley in daily sort of strategy. But I love that game. I think there's going to be just a billion points in that game, and I think you need to get all the pass catchers and all the running backs. Really, just take everyone.
That. I love that. A guy that I'm in love with is Michael Pittman Jr. You know this. I felt that he was the best wide receiver coming out this year. Of course, as we know, went on IR, had some issues. But boy, I love him this week against Tennessee, especially with, what's his name out? Tennessee DB. Jackson, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I forget who you said. But I want to tell you, I was looking at this now. The center is likely out for the Colts too, Ryan Kelly. And that's, just be mindful. And Jonathan Taylor also not playing in that game. So all of the other running backs become better choices. I believe Jonathan Taylor on the COVID list. Again, triple check in the morning because, you know, the COVID situation, it's the number of testing. There's a lot of protocol. I am not the one to – I don't follow the rules. I just know – I just listen to them once they happen. But I don't make the rules. I just listen to them once they happen. So, but just be mindful in that game. There are some key pieces that are missing. So, you know, if you're playing Jonathan Taylor in fantasy, you might want to make sure – because I just read that he's on the COVID list, which means he's probably not playing.
Last but not least, tight end.
My favorite position. I hope everyone took my TJ Hawkinson pick from Thursday. I know you had a great Thursday, too, and that's really the only bright spot about the Lions that I can even think of. So there's that. But I think this week, one place that I'm honing in on is Minnesota for a tight end. And I think both of the Minnesota tight ends could be good picks, because if you look to see – they put Adam Thielen on. He's likely not playing on the COVID list. So that means good news for Justin Jefferson, but it also means good news for Irv Smith Jr. and for Kyle Rudolph. So depending on who's available or who's not, that could be a really nice spot to target with some, you know, some sleeper pick in daily.
Great stuff as always, Cynthia. Again, we are grateful and we are blessed that you join us each and every Saturday, my friend. Happy holidays to you and your beautiful family, and enjoy week 12.
You too. Talk to you next week. Thank you always for having me.
You got it. Cynthia Freeland.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.